Here we are.
Good morning. Welcome to Ways and Means. Today we're happy to hear a few bills. Call the meeting to order. A quorum is present. And the first thing on the agenda is not on the agenda, actually, but my first duty is to introduce a new member. There he is. Representative Jeff Backer has now joined us in Ways and Means. Any words of wisdom for us, Representative Backer?
Get the work of the people done. There you go.
Didn't bring snacks.
Thank you for that.
Did not bring snacks.
We have some complaints, but we'll see what happens in the future.
Snacks are always a good idea if you want the chair's full support.
Is there a certain snack that the chair appreciates?
You know, I really like Special K bars.
Yeah. Were those the Special K bars from Carl's Bakery in Granite Falls, Minnesota, Mr. Chair?
Well, there's a variety of Special K bars, actually. Okay. It's the quality of the chocolate that really sets some apart from others. Anyway, with enough time with that, we do have minutes from the previous meeting. Representative Abadjie, have you reviewed the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Minutes are moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Minutes are approved. Thank you for that. We have a number of bills before us today. We're starting with House File 3298, Representative Mecklen's bill. If he would proceed to the table, and I will move your bill to move to the general register. Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Please explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill relates to the petrol fund that was established back in the 80s for the purpose of cleaning up contaminated soil and or preventing it from becoming contaminated. And what this bill does is it extends the running cycle by roughly a month and generating about an additional $4 million a year that the station owners can then apply for to replace the underground piping as a proactive measure rather than a reactive. And I do have a testifier with me, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. If you want to introduce yourself and further explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dallas Fisher of Fueling, Minnesota. Our 100-year-old trade association represents 300 licensed fuel marketers who own and operate the majority of Minnesota's 2,500 retail service stations. Our members are primarily multi-generational family businesses and farmer-owned cooperatives located throughout the state. I'm here in support of creating a new preventative reimbursement option within the Minnesota Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Fund, commonly known as the Petro Fund. The Minnesota Petro Fund is widely regarded as the gold standard in our country. It primarily helps with the reimbursement cleanup costs after a petroleum spill or leak has already occurred. Because of the Petro Fund's financial support, releases are reported promptly, cleanups are completed quickly, and Minnesota's groundwaters are protected, all while keeping costs financially prudent. But we believe Minnesota can do even better by preventing releases before they happen. One of the highest risk pieces of the underground tank fueling system still used in parts of Minnesota are single-walled pressurized steel piping. This is a unique issue in Minnesota. Based on our most recent data, approximately 38% of retail fueling sites, roughly 500 locations statewide, are still operating with this type of piping. While this equipment was considered state-of-the-art when installed, it is corrosion-prone and may be vulnerable to failure due to environmental ground conditions. When failures occur, cleanup costs can easily reach hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars. These costs ultimately fall on the Petro Fund, the fuel marketer, and Minnesota's fuel consumers and economy. Our proposal is simple and fiscally responsible. Allow a targeted reimbursement of $4 million per year for 10 years for proactively replacing high-risk piping systems before a release occurs. This is not a giveaway, but rather a smart investment. Every release we prevent protects groundwater and soil, avoids business shutdowns, reduces emergency response costs, and saves the Petro Fund significant long-term dollars, creating real savings for Minnesota's fuel consumers. This policy aligns incentives in the right way and encourages responsible upgrades, reducing environmental risk and protecting the long-term health of the Petro Fund by, in this case, preventing releases instead of reacting to them. Happy to stand for any questions you may have.
Thank you. I'm going to turn to nonpartisan fiscal staff to address the financial implications of this bill. Ms. Avery.
Mr. Chair, I'm so sorry. I was just speaking with my colleague about a different bill. Could you?
This is the Petro Fund bill, House File 3298. I believe it impacts the Petro Fund, but I will let you explain what happens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So the way that the Petro Fund is set up is when the balance in the fund goes below a specific amount, the assessment automatically blinks on, and so there is an estimate of when that would occur in the fiscal note that is before everybody, and so it would cover the costs that the new language would incur, and it would have more than enough. So that's why, pardon me, the table shows a negative number, because it would create additional funds beyond the amount needed because of the bill in front of us.
And is there any impact to the general fund?
No, Mr. Chair and members, there is no impact to the general fund.
Thank you for that clarification. Member questions. Representative Acomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Representative Meckland. We heard this bill in the Energy Committee, and at that time, the fiscal note had not been prepared, so appreciate being able to see that now and confirm what you had said, that there would be no general fund impacts. And overall, I think that this bill does a really good thing, especially for the environment, to prevent and catch spills and leaks that can have environmental impacts. And so for that reason, I would encourage our members to support it. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Acomb. Any final comments on the bill, Representative Meckman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, as Mr. Fisher said, there's actually one case right now at a station in Elgin that had some releases that ended up impacting the Petro Fund north of $2 million. So a $100,000 grant right now is like a $2 million pound a cure later. So I encourage a yay vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I will renew the motion that House File 3298 be passed to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. You're on your way, Representative Meckland.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Senate File 3892, Representative Nelson bill. Please step forward to the testifiers table. Members, the reason this has a Senate file number is because it has already passed off the Senate floor with a 66-0 vote. It also has bipartisan authors in both bodies, both the House and Senate. And I will now turn to the author of the bill, Representative Nelson, to explain House File 3832, and the motion will be to pass it to the General Register.
Thank you, Chair Torkelson, and this bill modifies the eligibility criteria for the Dairy Assistance Investment Relief Initiative, sometimes referred to as the Dairy with an I program. The state program provides supplemental financial assistance and an incentive, actually, to Minnesota dairy farmers who voluntarily participate in the Federal Dairy Margin Program, or DMC. The DMC is administered by the Federal Farm Service Agency, USDA, and offers financial support to dairy farmers when the margin between the milk price and the feed cost becomes low. Dairy farmers have to pay a premium and enroll to participate in DMC. Under current law, Minnesota appropriated $4 million to the Dairy Assistance and Relief Initiative in 2023 for fiscal year 2024. In 2024, the legislature shifted the appropriation to fiscal year 25. However, the U.S. Department of Agriculture did not offer the DMC program in either fiscal year 24 or 25. In response, the 2025 Minnesota legislature canceled $1 million of appropriation, returning it to the general fund and leaving $3 million available for the program. The existing session law for this $3 million in funding limits eligibility to dairy farmers who produced no more than 16 million pounds of milk in 2022, with payment amounts based upon the farm's 2022 milk production up to 5 million pounds. This has created an unintended problem. farms that began operating after 2022 or that only produced milk for part of 2022 cannot qualify because they have no full year production or history from that year. This bill corrects that issue by expanding eligibility to new dairy farmers who either did not sell milk during 2022 or sold milk for only a part of that year. For those farms, payments would be based on production history established through their DMC enrollment rather than their 2022 production. This bill also allows an unencumbered funds remaining after the June 30th, 2026 to be used for a similar purpose as authorized under the program. This bill would take effect immediately upon enactment. In short, approximately 30 new dairy farms will have come online since 2022. will now be eligible for this program solely because of this change. They were not active in 2022 or before, and so they don't have a production for that. So this bill ensures that new operations are able to access the same financial assistance as other qualifying dairy farms. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Currently, the sign-up is now open for the DMC program, and it's actually on the Minnesota side of it, through the MDA, that has been extended one time already. They were still slated to close, I believe, last week. I think we have the Commissioner of Agriculture here, and he is agreeing with me on that was supposed to close last week, and they've extended it out to try allow for more eligibility. About 1,200 farms have signed up for the DMC through the federal program, and I think about 734 have applied through the state, and so they've got some programs they're going through, but they've extended that till April 9th to try to get a few more farms to sign up. There is, Minnesota has led the nation in sign up on this program in previous years. And it'd be great if we could be able to do that again and to be able to help support a few new dairy farms. I used to be a dairy farmer myself, and I sometimes wonder why you would start a dairy farm. but I congratulate those that have. I think it's a great place to raise kids and have a family. It is a tough business, but I would encourage its support.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. I'll turn now to fiscal staff, nonpartisan fiscal staff, to explain the financial impacts of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I was listening this time, so I'm a little more prepared. There is no additional impact to the general fund. As the representative mentioned, it expands the use of the current $4 million appropriation, so it would not have an additional cost.
Thank you. So no impact to the general fund. Thank you. I think we should hear. I'd like the commissioner to come up to verify his head nod, if you don't mind, Representative Nelson. Welcome, Commissioner. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead and explain what you need to explain.
Mr. Chairman and members, Tom Peterson, Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and I knew that was a danger in being here today, but it's a very important issue, and I appreciate Representative Nelson carrying this bill. As he said, you know, this is the second iteration of this. We did this in 2019, and Minnesota led the nation in the sign up, and really would appreciate if we can move this bill because we'd like to get these dollars out to our dairy farmers as soon as possible. And so, as we would be able to, once this bill passes, and with the sign up closing April 9th. We'll be able to move very quickly to get those payments out to the farmers that need them. So thank you for your consideration.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. Could you explain what would happen if we don't get this work done before April 9th?
Mr. Chair and members, if you do not get this done, some of those newer farmers that started since 2022 would not be able to participate. And so, you know, if you think about new farmers, we found out we lost 1,000 farmers in the last 2 years. So if we have an opportunity to boost those farmers, we'd like to do it soon. And we'd like to help those farmers that are caught in this little piece that this bill addresses.
Thank you, Commissioner. It's my understanding that someone, in order for someone to apply for these funds, they have to be enrolled in the DMC program. Is that right? And that's without that enrollment in a timely fashion, these funds will not be available to those young beginning farmers.
Mr. Chairman, correct.
Thank you. I'm going to request a roll call on this bill. Any questions from members? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I live in a dairy county, Carver County, as the commissioner knows, and has come out to visit. And Representative Nelson, I'm sure you know lots of dairy farmers. We have lost a lot of dairy farmers, and I think the biggest problem that we face is getting a younger farmer or a newer farmer to come and join the ranks of the insane life of a dairy farmer. I'm sure Representative Nelson could tell us how far from his dairy farm he was able to get on a day, because you can't, or at what time you have to wake up in the morning to take care of running a dairy farm. We've got some fantastic farms, but we can't get younger people to continue to run them. And I just appreciate this bill, because those are the ones that we want to go start a dairy or branch off and start something new, and it's not happening. I hope that we can get a bit of help to them on a bill that has no impact to the general fund. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. One other question from the chair, and that has to do with the pound limit. Does that apply to these farmers, the production limit? Is that a piece of this, Representative Nelson?
Yes, there is a production limit on this, and that is not eligible to those that produce more than 16 million pounds, if that is, yes, that is correct. That they have a limit, so it is geared towards smaller dairy farmers.
So to some people, 16 million might sound like a huge number, but could you comment on whether that is a large dairy farm?
I guess it probably all depends on perspective, but yes, when I was farming dairy cows, we produced a little over 1 million pounds a year, and that was on about 50 cows. So you're looking at to 16 million pounds, you're probably at around, you know, 500 to 600 cows maybe. That is really, in today's world, that is a small farm.
Yeah, I would agree, Representative Nelson, because we've seen dairy farms in the thousands, multiple thousands, of course. We have a question from Representative Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just curious. So of the, you said 30 new farmers, correct? Mr. Chair, may I continue?
Are you asking Representative Nelson a question? Representative
Claiborne? I did, and he nodded yes. So I ask if I could please continue.
A follow-up, Representative Claiborne.
Thank you. Could you please tell me, of these 30 new farmers, how many of them are using the same land or different farming than their family members?
Representative Nelson.
So, thank you, Representative Claiborne. And I think you're asking, is it a generational farm?
Yes, okay. Correct. Thank you.
That I don't know on the numbers. That's that is open to I think most dairy farms are taking over an existing facility and not starting from the ground up from a new facility. So I guess I don't know on the numbers on that, but this would impact about 30 new farms that have started since 2022.
Thank you, Representative Claiborne. A second follow up.
I have two more questions. So they're short. So,
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Of these 30 new farms, is there an average we anticipate they will receive from this payout?
That would probably be a question for the commissioner if he's willing to come back up here.
Time to phone a friend, Representative Nelson. Commissioner, if you can answer either of these first two questions from Representative Claiborne, that would be appreciated.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Claiborne, on a couple of points, we don't know. On the first point, I would just add to it, it's one farm, so that you're applying for one entity. And then on the second question was
was the on
Average subsidy.
Oh, the average amount. Yeah, we don't know. We know they're under 750, but until we get the applications in, and we do have some of those people have applied, you know, that we know already. We kind of encourage people to apply, hoping that this bill would pass. But, you know, anecdotally, I can tell you that they're under 750. Most people aren't starting at that level. So the ones that I know that are caught in this, they're, you know, in the, you know, 50 to 200 category, probably more like this. This bill is aimed at smaller dairy farmers. There may also be some transfers in there, so a dad to a son. Those are maybe a little larger entities or a daughter. And, you know, so it is aimed at smaller. And as the chairman said, you know, we have farms that have almost 10,000 cows, multiple farms of those. Those are not eligible for this.
Thank you, Commissioner. Another follow-up person of Claiborne.
No, just a statement that I, overall, I think the assistance is a good program, but I would really like to have more information to be able to answer these questions before we move it. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Claiborne, for those comments. It seems like your questions have been answered. I don't see any. Oh, Representative Frazier.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Nelson, for bringing the bill. Thank you, truly, thank you for all the work you've done to get in the shape that it's in and with the work doing in a bipartisan way. Looking forward to helping these farmers. And I appreciate the story you told about being a farmer and a dairy farmer and not really understanding why people want to go into this. But I'm glad you want to encourage folks, and we can do something to help entice people to be in the business because it's important for our state. I do want to say, Chair, you saw the questions raised by Rep. Claiborne. There are questions within our caucus that we still need to have some conversations about on this bill. For that reason, we won't move it today, but I told Rep. Nelson this earlier. We will get this done. But today we're not gonna vote to move it on. We're gonna continue to have those conversations, but we will get this done.
Thank you, Co-Chair Frazier. I'm not necessarily following logic, but that's your choice. Timeliness in this case is important. This is a bill aimed to help young beginning farmers. Funds are available. There is zero impact to the general fund. It's hard for me to understand why the Ways and Means Committee thinks it knows more about ag than the Ag Committee, but that's your choice. And we will, the motion is that this bill move to the general register. I renew my motion, and we will proceed with the roll call.
Chair Torkelson.
Aye.
Chair Frazier.
No.
Vice Chair Scott.
Yes.
Vice Chair Agbaje.
No.
Representative Akam.
No.
Representative Backer.
Yes.
Representative Baker.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Gomez.
No.
Representative Heintzman.
Yes.
Representative Igo.
Igo, aye.
Representative Claiborne.
Claiborne, no.
Representative Cagle. Representative Katiza Watun.
No.
Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Kresha.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
No.
Representative Moeller.
No.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Knorr.
No.
Representative Novotny.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Pinto.
No.
Representative Schumacher.
Aye.
Representative Swidzinski.
Yes.
Representative Vang.
No.
Representative West.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
No.
Thank you. There are 14 ayes and 13 nays, but because we have to pass bills with the majority of the membership of the committee, this bill today fails. I'm going to lay this bill over pending further action by this committee. Next, we have House File 3528, Representative Sexton. Please approach the testifiers table and when you're ready, go ahead and present your bill.
Good
Good morning, Co-Chairs Torkelson and Co-Chair Frazier, members of the Ways and Means Committee, and your outstanding staff. First, before I introduce the bill, I just want to thank Co-Chairs Nash, Co-Chairs Claiborne for their support that moved this out of the State Government Committee and on to Ways and Means Committee here today. House File 3528 is a technical bill supporting the Minnesota Barber Examiner's Board and truly promotes the growth of the barbering career field in Minnesota. This bill cleans up several small sections of the current statute based on the 2021 OLA report and slightly adjusts several of the fees for licensing. Thus, the fiscal note really reflects a diminished amount of $1,000. The net budget impact was slightly positive based on the fee adjustments. However, adding two additional practical examinations brought it down to where it shows the need for a fiscal note. Finally, I have Mr. Brett Grabanowski to my left. He's the Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Barber Examiners, and we're both here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Sexton. You know you're supposed to stall until the chair.
Situational awareness.
I know. Well, that's one demerit for you. I will turn now to the fiscal staff to explain the impact of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As Representative Sexton mentioned, there is a small change to the general fund of $1,000 annually.
Thank you for that information. Any questions from members regarding the barbers? I see none. The motion is that this bill be referred to the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. You're on your way to the floor, Riff, in spite of your demerit. Thank you. Next up is 3516, a Schumacher bill.
Voting no, right?
Yes.
Welcome to the testifier table. Since you're a member of the committee, you can move your own bill, Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 3516 be referred to the General Register.
Thank you. Go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is the Board of Dentistry Regulation Bill. It's mostly, through the summary you can read, mostly technical changes, changing the definition of the faculty dentists to reference things such as the School of Dentistry and the dental education programs within. There is an addition of a guest license piece in here, which the fiscal note says would affect fewer than five people each year. And then a couple of fee adjustments throughout, but mostly a cleanup bill.
Thank you, Representative Schumacher. Any questions for the author? Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Schumacher, for bringing the bill forward. We heard it in health. It had a good hearing, and it helps the dental profession. It improves care and improves our workforce. So thanks for bringing it forward. Appreciate your work.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Schumacher, would you like to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would renew my motion that House File 3516 be referred to the General Register.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by the same sign. The bill is passed to the General Register. Next up, we have a Hewitt bill, House File 3972. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee, Representative Hewitt. I will move your bill be passed and sent to the General Register. Please explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, members. This bill is a fairly straightforward bill to protect individuals that have went into the Airbnb business with their homes. It basically states that Commerce has had issues with this because it sounds like an insurance policy, but it's not an insurance policy. So if a renter or a visitor had committed damage to your property and they refuse to pay you back, the platform or Airbnb will step in and guarantee that not warranty it, but guarantee and take care of to make the person whole. Apparently, there hasn't been any complaints of the Airbnb system in Minnesota. They've been operating for 15 years. This law has also been placed in 24 other states. This bill is budget neutral, and I believe we have an amendment that the department had. Is it a verbal amendment?
I'm a little confused no. about the amendments because I had a misunderstanding, so I do not think there are any amendments to be made in this committee. There was a verbal amendment made in the previous
yes.
committee, is my understanding.
So we corrected it in the last committee is what we did. So thank
so
you,
So I
Mr.
believe
Chair.
The bill is in the shape you need it to be in today.
It is, so we don't have an amendment.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt. We'll turn to nonpartisan staff for an explanation of the fiscal impact.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The fiscal note references an assumption that there would be approximately 10 providers, so this would generate a revenue of $8,000 annually to the general fund.
Thank you for that. Any member questions regarding House File 3972? Representative Heisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not a question, just thanking Representative Hewitt for this bill. We have one of these properties, and this is a need. I'm glad that it's being addressed. Thank you again.
Seeing no further questions, I renew my motion that House File 3972 be passed to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed by the same sign. You're on your way, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In committee.
Finally, we have a Katisa Batun bill, House File 4118. If she would please approach the stand.
There is an amendment.
Yes, we do have a amendment to this bill. If you don't mind, Representative Katisa Batun, I'm going to turn to nonpartisan staff first.
Sure.
To get a handle on the financial impact of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You'll see there is a fiscal note in your packets, and there is no presumed cost of the bill to the general fund or any other fund. And what the bill does, I assume the bill author will speak to this a little bit, but it does give the department the ability to assess a fee, but they don't see that they will need to in the near future, but you'll get more information on that.
Thank you for that. Representative Katisa Batun, if you would like to explain your bill to the committee.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, members, House File 4118 is a credit union bill, which it allows our state chartered credit unions to pursue private deposit insurance as opposed to just running their deposit insurance through the National Credit Union Association. We're all familiar likely with banks and saying we're FDIC insured, and so the credit unions have a similar policy, and there's a at this point in time 10 other states that allow credit unions who are state chartered to utilize the insurance that's run through the National Credit Union affiliation for depository insurance or pursue private insurance. So this change would allow state chartered credit unions in the state of Minnesota to do either of those choices. So the deposits will still be insured, whether they are insured federally through the National Credit Unions or through a private insurance broker who is willing to cover this type of insurance. So their private share insurance is not an untested subject or concept. There, like I said, there's 10 other states that are currently doing this. And while I do have quite a lengthy amendment, it is simply a technical amendment. There are at least 33 cross-references in state statute to either credit unions that being federally insured. So the technical amendment, excuse me, just adds or privately insured for all of those references. And then there are some banking statutes that refer to financial institutions that are also insured. So that's the gist of the bill. I appreciate the bipartisan support for this, both in the House and in the other body, and hopefully we can send it along.
Well, I thank you, Representative, for your explanation of the bill. Given the fact that this bill has no impact to the general fund, it's my suggestion that because of the rather extensive amendment, I realize it's technical, but it is extensive, I'm suggesting that we move this bill back to Commerce, or they can consider this amendment thoroughly with the expertise of that committee. So my motion, I will make the motion that we send this bill back to the Commerce Committee for consideration of the DE1 and no reason to bring the bill back here to Ways and Means. We do not need to see it in Ways and Means again because there is no fiscal impact. Representative,
oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, that you're in the middle of the motion. I shouldn't have raised my hand. I can ask a question offline. Just wondering why we didn't have the amendment in our packets just to look at it. So thank you. Mr. Chair, if I may. The amendment itself.
My LA has indicated to me that she was instructed not to print it because it was so darn big.
It's 51 pages long. And there's only a change, one or two changes per page.
Thank you.
Allowing the credit unions to become privately insured for depository insurance.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're saving the trees. Thanks, Allie.
We're saving the trees and the ink, yes. With that, I renew our motion that this bill be re-referred to the Commerce Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. You get to go back to Commerce, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Presenting the bill today. Members, we'll now turn to Co-Chair Frazier to give us the roadmap for our future.
The entire future?
Just
I didn't prepare for the entire future.
Just your portion of the future, Frazier.
When we return, it'll be after the break. We'll return. We had scheduled presentations from local businesses, local municipalities, local counties that have been impacted by the metro operations here with the federal agents. That was our snow day, so we're going to reschedule that, and we will be back with that, and maybe some bills, depending on how conversations go up to that point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just to clarify, Representative Frazier, so have you scheduled a makeup for the hearing that you missed?
Mr. Chair, we have not scheduled a makeup yet. We will notify you. It will be coming.
So then just to clarify, so the presentation by these local jurisdictions will be at your next regular meeting?
It will be at the next regular meeting.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for clarifying that for me.
Thank you for asking the question.
A little slow. Anyway, with that, members, thank you for your work today. This meeting is adjourned.